Now. Along the main drag, the firing from the bars and Gaudi ceased, a sudden silence reigning along the road. Ryan counted in his head, glancing at his wrist chron, as he watched the two illuminated wags just sit in the middle of the street, dark and oppressive in their silence. By his reckoning, the longer the ceasefire continued, the jumpier the illuminated ones would be getting. From past experience, he knew that they weren't good fighters, and could imagine that the silence was playing heavily on their nerves inside the wags. They would have no idea what was going on. He kept counting. As soon as the firing had ceased, the gate warriors with laser blasters had relinquished some to the companions. Of the remainder, some had detached from the bars and gaudies and headed out the back, moving swiftly on each side of the drag toward its northern end. As they did, the companions also moved out, Mildred and Doc moving slower because of their symptoms, Jack's speed as yet unimpaired, and headed toward the alleyways at the southern end. Ryan was the exception. He planned to stay until the last, launch the attack, and then retreat to join his people. Those Amazons armed with lasers positioned themselves so that they could get a clear shot at the wags from the windows and doors. The barrels of the weapons, with their distinctive rounded snouts housing the laser jewel, held back until time was up. At each end of the main drag, looking across the roadway from the facing alleys, the groups of gate warriors and companions faced each other, gesturing their recognition and checking their crons for the time until the first offensive. Ryan kept counting through clenched teeth, his attention fixed on the two vehicles in front of him. He didn't look across at Gloria, but knew that she would be likewise absorbed in her task. And now the count was over. Ryan gave his wrist chron a brief check and nodded. There had been more than enough time for the two offensive groups to reach each end of the main drag, and more than enough time for the illuminated ones cocooned inside the wags to lose whatever nerve they may have had. Ryan raised his stire and took aim at the underside of one of the wags. The laser blaster he'd been given was still on his shoulder. Time enough for that when he'd raced to the end of the street. The stire was to be the signal shot. He slowly depressed the trigger. The rifle kicked back and unloaded the first shell of the attack. It ricocheted off the metal protectors that covered the wag's tires, but this was lost in the melee of sound that suddenly engulfed the bar in which he stood. From every bar and gaudy came a volley of blaster shots and the hum and heat of lasers. Ryan drew back from the window and headed toward the rear of the bar, running to join his companions for what he hoped to be the next stage of the offensive. Gloria turned briefly to him as he moved.
Give him hell!
You know it.
The one-eyed warrior hit the alley that ran along the rear of the drag, shouldering his stire and swinging the laser blaster to hand in one fluid motion as he moved. The plan was simple. The only parts of the illuminated wags that weren't entirely protected were the chassis and axles on the underside. Direct fire at them, and there was a chance of disabling the vehicle and forcing the inexperienced illuminated fighters into moving. Ryan wanted to separate the two vehicles. Not only would it make them easier to deal with if they had no backup, but it also increased the chances of capturing one. He wanted to take one of those wags very badly. If he could capture one, then he figured they'd have a better chance of gaining access to the redoubt by using the thing as a Trojan horse. Ryan arrived at the alleyway, where Mildred and Doc were waiting for him. Looking across the divide, he could see JB, Jack, Dean, and Christy ready in position. The armorer signaled that all was set on his side, and Ryan acknowledged. Then he turned to Mildred and Doc.
How you doing?
Not so bad. Feeling a little weak, but not so weak that I can't lift and fire this damned laser blaster.
Doc, on the other hand, was looking pale, his skin ashen. Although he was holding a laser blaster, he was only using one hand, barrel pointed down. He was leaning heavily on the silver lion's head cane that housed his sword stick. Usually the cane was a camouflage for the blade, but at this moment it seemed as though Doc had a greater need for it as support. Doc managed a weak, wry grin.
I have felt better, quite frankly. My kidneys feel on fire, and my chest appears to have a ton weight heavily upon it. But my hand is indeed steady, and my eye, if not keen, is still in focus.
Just do what you can, Doc. And you, Mildred. If the wag gets driven back here, then there's a good chance of nailing it. It may already be damaged.
One would hope so, but we must never forget there is nothing more dangerous than a wounded beast.
Looking at Doc, Ryan felt that the older man's words could as easily be applied to himself as to the wag that would be heading their way, but held his peace. Like the gate warriors at the far end of the drag, the companions assumed combat positions, laser blasters readied for attack, ears straining for an indication of movement from the wags, in among the roar of combat that engulfed the main drag.
All right, here goes nothing.
In every bar and gaudy, the crossroads dwellers and gate warriors directed their fire toward the undersides of the wags. The upper body of each vehicle was made of an alloy, the likes of which hadn't been seen in the Deathland since the New Cost, and although the tires of each were the same rubber as any other tire, they were protected by a metal shell made of the same alloy that exposed very little of the tire itself. There was only a thin band of tire visible at the very base of the wheel. However, the vehicle's underbelly did have vulnerabilities. If any shells or laser fire could damage the chassis or axle, or ricochet and take out one or more of the tires, then the wags would be disabled. And whatever else, Ryan had been pretty sure that the illuminated ones within wouldn't relish the idea of being trapped in the outside world without being able to get back to the redoubt. Soaking up pressure from fire directed at the impervious body, they could sit there quite happily all day until the ammo was exhausted, and then do as they wished with no opposition. But direct fire at their weaker spots, planting the seed of panic in their minds, and it may be possible to push them into action. Gloria directed the attack on the wags as much as she could with all the noise and confusion. Blaster and laser fire rained down, kicking up clouds of dust and chippings from the old tarmac.
Hey, give me the Prenton launcher!
On the far side, her command was echoed by Tammy, whose task it was to act as opposite number to her queen. The two wags' engines fired up. Before leaving the camp, John and JB had primed some old Gren launchers that the tribe had in their armory. On each side of the road, Tammy and Gloria now loaded them and primed the Grens. Shouldering the heavy weapons, each warrior directed the nose of the launcher between the end of one wag and the front of the next. Steeling herself for a recoil she could only guess at, Gloria fired. On the opposite side of the road, Tammy also let loose. An immense cloud of dirt, tarmac, and dust was thrown up as the Grens gouged a great trench in the road.
Motherfucker!
The air began to clear, and Gloria could see the damage that had been wrought. Where there had once been road, there was now a large smoking crater. It looked several feet deep, certainly too deep for even the four-wheel drive machines to cope with, and extended across about half the road's width. The wags had pulled back a few yards as the explosion had hit and had halted again, unsure of what to do. They were covered in dirt, and some lumps of tarmac had made small dents on the bodywork, but they were otherwise undamaged. Both Gloria and Tammy reached the same conclusion. The wags wanted to stay close to each other, as they'd only withdrawn a bit rather than fleeing in opposite directions, and there was still enough room across the road for either of them to skirt the crater. The two women loaded up their Gren launchers and took aim once more. Both directed their fire so that it would take out the road directly in front of them, making an impassable trench that ran the entire width of the road. The only danger they faced was from flying debris. The heat and force of the detonation threw both Tammy and Gloria backward.
Holy shit!
But the Amazons had an innate, wiry strength that enabled both to scramble to their feet and view their handiwork. Ignoring their aches and bruises, both were satisfied with their work. There was now a trench that was impossible for the wags to cross. They were effectively separated. On their own. Each would have to head for the end of the drag, where ambushes awaited them. Gloria caught Tammy's eye across the divide. Tammy smiled back, and each woman picked up her blaster and continued to harry the wags, joining their comrades in firing at the wags' undersides. On each side of the trench, the wags tentatively drew back a couple of yards before halting, as though the drivers were weighing their options. There was no way either party could cross the divide, so they exercised their only option. One wag began to accelerate toward the north end of the road, while the other slewed into a turn so that it wouldn't have to exit in reverse. Its turning gave the gate and the crossroads dwellers another angle from which to fire at the underbelly, and they seized it. While the wag that was heading north was able to escape toward the end of the road with minimal damage, the increased angle of fire offered by the other vehicle yielded a positive result. A laser blast caught at insulation on the electrical cable. The beam cut through the insulation with ease and severed the cable. The engine cut out before the emergency backup system for the onboard comps refired the ignition motor. At the same time, a stray shell ricocheted off one wheel guard and flew diagonally across the wag's belly and penetrated one of the tires, causing it to veer dangerously across the road before the driver was able to right his course and pilot the vehicle straight down the road.